Welcome to On My Walk, a reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and your leadership. Well, I just finished John Perkins' One Blood, Parting Words to the Church on Race. Now, Perkins, not to be confused with the economist, consultant, and author John Perkins, offers One Blood as his manifesto, his, I quote, most earnest attempt to put down in writing the principles he believes to be vital to a complete ministry of reconciliation. Now, if anyone has a right to be talking about reconciliation, it's John M. Perkins. He's the son of a sharecropper. His mother died from pellagra, malnutrition that comes from a sharecropper's subsistence diet of pork, fatback, molasses, and cornmeal. I mean, lacking the vitamins she needed, she starved to death. Her body couldn't sustain herself and her newborn son. Perkins' father abandoned him as a child. His brother, Clyde, a World War II veteran, was shot and killed by a white deputy marshal in Mississippi in 1946. Perkins himself was beaten and tortured by a Mississippi sheriff and by state police. He moved to California to escape this oppressive racism and segregation in Mississippi. And Perkins came to this spot where he said, I learned to hate the white people of Mississippi, and if I'd not met Jesus, I would have died carrying that heavy burden of hate to the grave. But he did meet Jesus. Now, for those of you listening to this who don't buy the Christian message, no problem. But this is Perkins' story, so we need to hear him out. One day, his son, Spencer, who had been attending the Good News Club where kids learn about the Bible, came home and shared what he was learning with his dad. And when Spencer invited his dad to go to Sunday school, Perkins went. And Perkins said, it was there that I finally met Jesus. And here's what he writes. I discovered that joy is the fulfillment of longing. And I was longing for love. And I was seeing it in Spencer, but I never really had it myself. And I heard a verse that sealed the deal. Galatians 2:20, written by Paul, who had once been a murderer, but who had been touched by the love of God. He had once hated Christians, but now he was one of them. And Paul explained that the love of God was the reason he was behaving the way he was. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now listen, as Perkins describes the change that occurred in his life.
When I heard that verse, I said to myself that if there's a God in heaven who loved me enough to send his only son into the world to die for me, I want to know that God. I want to know him. And I came to know him. I believe the purpose of man is to know that God, the God of the universe who made everything and holds everything together, that big God, that all-encompassing God, the God who makes himself known to humanity. I came to know that God, and I believe the purpose of us knowing that God is to love him back and make him known to others. Almost immediately, God began to do something radical in my heart. He began to challenge my prejudices and my hatred toward others. I had learned to hate the white people in Mississippi. I hated their control over our lives. I hated them for what they had done to my brother, Clyde. I hated them for refusing to see me as a person deserving of respect just because I was a human being. I had so much hate. And if I had not met Jesus, I would have died carrying that heavy burden of hate to my grave. But he began to strip it away, layer by layer. He reminded me again and again that I could not hoard his love, and I could not be selective about who I would share it with. The love he had shed abroad in my heart was meant to be shared with others regardless of their color.
Wow. Listen to what Perkins said. I had so much hate, and if I had not met Jesus, I would have died carrying that heavy burden of hate to my grave. But God, who does what only God can do, turned that hate to love, a love that forgave his abusers, a love that pursued racial reconciliation through very difficult and turbulent times for decades, a love that so infused Perkins that as you read his book, his pages are full of references to people he calls friends, white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people. It doesn't matter. And here's the reason. Perkins said, I realized I could not hoard his love. And I could not be selective about who I would share it with. The love he had shed abroad in my heart was meant to be shared with others regardless of their color. And I'm listening to Perkins and I'm reading his book and I'm wondering what might happen in this day of increasingly volatile racial tension if more people served up big heaping helpings of love instead of hoarding their love and very selectively dishing it out to the racial group of their choice. I agree with Perkins when he said this hoarding of love is the big disconnect, especially in the church. He writes this, the problem is that there is this gaping hole in our gospel. We have preached a gospel that leaves us believing that we can be reconciled to God. Get this, we can be reconciled to God, but not reconciled to our Christian brothers and sisters who don't look like us. Brothers and sisters with whom we are, in fact, one blood. And this is his manifesto, this 88-year-old soldier of civil rights and racial reconciliation, this advisor to presidents, this tireless worker, this author, this man who's received 14 honorary doctorates. He says, we can't hoard God's love. Why? Because God only created one race, the human race. We are one blood, so we need to fight for racial reconciliation, the removal of tension between parties and the restoration of a loving relationship, as he writes it. You know, in the foreword of this book, Bill and Lynn Hybels quote Franz Kafka, who said, a book must be an ice axe to break up the sea frozen inside of us. And one blood is that ice axe, breaking up the hard ice between brothers and sisters that unfortunately don't often act like brothers and sisters. And Perkins concludes his work with these words. He says this, my prayer is for God to hasten the day when every church in America is a multicultural church. Until then, every one of us has a crucial part to play in this story of reconciliation. I know what my part is. Perkins writes, I will preach the biblical message of reconciliation until he calls me home. I love that. I know what my part is, Perkins writes. He's not going to hoard God's love. How about me? How about you? Let me quote you a few words of John Wesley to William Wilberforce in 1791 as Wilberforce fought to end slavery in England. And Perkins quotes this in his book. Wesley writes to Wilberforce, O, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till even American slavery, the vilest that ever sought the sun, shall vanish away before it. Now, I think were Wesley alive today, he'd pray for us to press on to end the racism left in slavery's wake. And it happens as we refuse to hoard God's love, but instead give it out to anyone and everyone, and especially those to whom we might be at odds. Well, refusing to hoard God's love, that's my thought on my walk with John M. Perkins in his final manifesto, One Blood. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.